Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hi, this is Henry Gilroy, co-executive producer of Star Wars Rebels. You're listening to Aggressive Negotiations.
To Aggressive Negotiations, your safe corner of the Star Wars galaxy to discuss the deeper meanings that we all love and adore in our favorite film saga. I'm one of your hosts, Jedi Master John Mills, and with me as always is the astute, the learned, and the wise Jedi Master Matthew Rushing. Matt, how are you this week?
I'm feeling astute and wise.
Yes, my learned Jedi master across from me.
I'm doing great. Doing great. It's exciting to be here, John. This is a momentous show because it's number 99.
Yeah, 99.
Yeah, and we've already done zero. We did a zero episode, so technically this is episode 100. But we'll celebrate official 100 next time.
Ooh, with a very special one. We can't wait to spring that one on you guys. We actually have that one planned. And speaking of planning, if you're planning to do any podcast listening, you're here on the right network for it, the Nerd Party, which has something that everybody would want to listen to, everything from Doctor Who to current Star Trek to writing in Star Trek to interviews with creators of film over on Filibuster to Great Shot Kid, which looks at, filmmakers and, the different technical and inspirational aspects of filmmaking, to Nerd Nuptial, which is what it's like to be married as a nerd couple. And you can go over to thenerdparty.com. And if you want to reach out to us, go to thenerdparty.com/contact. You can pull up a form. It'll send an email to us. You can also go over on Twitter to @TheJediMasters. That's our show account. And if you want to reach out to us through the network accounts, you can go to @JoinNerdParty on Twitter. And you can go to The Nerd Party on Instagram. And you can, of course, go over to Facebook.com/TheNerdParty. If you're going to go out through the show contact, please use the hashtag Aggressive Negotiations just to let us know and give us a heads up that you said something. So, all of that said, we are running a contest right now where we asked people to put reviews into iTunes. And the most recent 10, we are going to draw a random name from those 10. And once we get to the magic number, and you will have a 1 in 10 chance to win a $15 gift of a comic book of your choosing, which will be sent to you online. And so we've gotten a few reviews, and we always promise that when we get reviews, we will read them on air, no matter what they say, no matter what the rating is. And it's been very humbling because we've gotten some more 5-star reviews, which, it honestly is humbling and flattering. We love to hear that you guys are enjoying us. So the first one that we got in since we started the contest was Fun with the Force from Andrew Swearingen. And he says, Aggressive Negotiations is a fun look into all the facets of the Star Wars universe, exploring the movies, animated shows, comics, novels, and everything in between. Like every other podcast on the Nerd Party, these two Jedi Masters balance their quippy banter with intriguing reflection on the stories and characters of our favorite galaxy far, far away. Any Star Wars fan will find something to like on Aggressive Negotiations. Andrew, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that review. It's a beautiful review and very flattering, so thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, thank you so much. Andrew wasn't the only one who joined in with this deluge. Everybody saw we were doing this contest, and they wanted to be one of the 10 in. So JTP Joe said, John and Matt discussed the topics that matter to Star Wars fans, and Star Wars fans are discussing themselves. The content is always fresh, fun, and entertaining. Apple limits my rating to 5 stars, but I'd give them 12 parsecs if I could. They said Parsec Award winners for a reason and 5 stars. So, wow. That one is, thank you so much, Joe. That means a lot.
Yeah, and the flattery continues with a five-star review titled Amazing from KF LeClaire or K. FLeClaire. It's always tough to sort of decide how to read the username sometimes.
Yeah,
but
it is.
that review says, Matt and John do an incredible job with this podcast. Thank you. Their sincere love of Star Wars comes out in every episode. They also tackle each topic with sincere passion and are always humble enough to disagree and learn from one another, something sorely lacking in much of our culture today. If you love Star Wars and want to look at it in a deeper light, you must listen to this show. The Force is strong with these two. That also, let's just say from this point forward, you can take it as a given that we consider all of these very flattering and very complimentary.
Yes.
And are very grateful, just so that we don't end every single one saying that's very flattering.
Well,
I
just wanted to call that out there. I mean, I do want to say that is one of the things that we do try to do here on the show. It is very important to us to try and do that, to be able to learn from each other. And I think, you know, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, I have definitely learned from you in my Star Wars fandom, but also more importantly, in real life. And so both of those things, you know, it's part of being brothers, you know, and loving
yes.
the same thing in Star Wars. And hey, no, we don't always agree. In fact, we were just disagreeing before we got on the air. So
quite spiritedly.
Yes,
actually.
So but you know, that we can disagree and we still love each other. So which is great, because you know, Big Bear Bechtel 11 said, this is a fun listen. If you love Star Wars, you'll love to listen. Fun Star Wars content, 5 stars. So we thank you so much for that. And definitely, man, we've got so many entries so far, John, but the list just keeps on rolling.
It does. We have another review from Jonathan Heil. It says, unique perspectives, 5 stars. And the word unique, there's a line that it always makes me think of in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And I invite anybody that hasn't seen that to, or has seen it, to go to the scene where they're eating chips and drinking miniature alcohol bottles, where that word comes into play. It's very fun. But Jonathan Heil says, Matt and John approach their Star Wars podcast unlike any other out there. Rather than cover the latest in Star Wars news, these two take a single topic each week and explore it fully and completely. If you like your Star Wars podcasts to be cerebral and unique, give Aggressive Negotiations an hour or less of your time each week. And that, thank you. Yes, this is what we strive for. We are aware that if we just had microphones like on our lapels, we could probably have a 24-hour podcast. I mean, taking sleep breaks. But we have a time zone difference, so Matt could keep talking while I was sleeping and vice
That's
versa
true.
And that sort of thing.
And
so.
You'd just like answer in your sleep. Uh-huh.
Probably so.
I don't know. I want to throw a challenge flag.
No. Mace Windu. Yes.
well, we've got another. Maddie113 said, like talking to Star Wars friends, 5 stars. You might not always agree with them, but that makes it all the better. You might not have ever thought about the topic they've discussed, but that makes it all the more interesting. A great podcast for those who love talking about anything Star Wars. A nice weekly connection with friends.
Thanks, man. Thank you, Maddie 113.
Which that's, is funny because that's pretty much what it is. I mean, we do this because we have friendship and we just like talking to each other about this stuff. So
very, very true. And you know, the last one we have for today is titled "Thoughtful Discussions," and this show springs out of thoughtful discussions that Matt and I had while we were over on Matt's show, the 602 Club, over on Trek FM. And it's from Freedom 410. It says, unfortunately, Star Wars fandom has become a pretty toxic place since Disney acquired Lucasfilm. There's an us versus them mentality where fans either hate or love a film with no in between. Fans spend way too much time arguing about whether or not a film is good and far too little time trying to understand what it means. I recently discovered Aggressive Negotiations and found Matt and John to be a breath of fresh air. They approach Star Wars in an incredibly thoughtful manner. They take a different topic each week and try to get at some of the deeper themes. What I really appreciate is that they acknowledge reasonable people can disagree. They present their arguments respectfully and really try to understand where other people are coming from. I feel like these guys really get Star Wars, and I learn something from them in each episode. Definitely recommend. And the common thread, the thing that we love more than anything about these reviews, besides the fact that we can see, in fact, that your reviews do have an impact on people finding us on iTunes.
Absolutely.
The thing that we love is that we have successfully communicated what basically the mission statement of the show is that respectful and thoughtful discussions with plenty of room for disagreement. And I love that people have picked up on that. It validates in a very large way why we put this show together. And thank you for listening, and thank you for your incredibly thoughtful and complimentary reviews. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and all of that, we've got 7 reviews in. We're going up to 10. So the next, once we get to 10, we'll do a drawing with the names, and that person will be able to pick a book, a Star Wars book or a comic of their choice on Amazon, $15 or under. You'll just let me know what that is, and I'll get that sent off to you, and that'll be your thank you for reviewing you. So you get a 1 in 10 shot, and this will probably be something that we keep doing for a while. If you miss getting your review in by one, don't worry. The contest will keep going, and you'll get your opportunity. This is really fun because it gives us a way to get the word out about the show. But it also, we want to give back to you, because we know it took some time to go on there, write a review, and all these people have written such fantastic, well thought out, and it didn't matter if it was complimentary, you wrote a review. So we just want to say thank you to you, helping us grow, helping more people find the show, because legitimately, as you said, John, this actually does make a difference in whether people find us when they search in the iTunes podcast store, which is still where most people get their podcasts. So again, thank you to everybody for making that effort and getting over there and helping us out. And cross your fingers, you could be the winner.
You could. And we are not just going to have a show where we're just talking about these reviews.
No.
We do have what I think is a barn burner of a topic here, and I'm going to throw it at you now, Matt.
Okay.
And
I've been waiting, man, because you said you weren't going to tell me what it was, and I've just been sitting here all day being like, what is John going to throw at me this time?
Here is the first shot across the bow to give you a hint of where we're going to go. Right now, thanks to another host on the Nerd Party, Sean Eastridge.
That guy.
Missing Frames. Yeah, that guy. But he hosts Missing Frames,
right,
which is a terrific show. We encourage you to go over and listen to
it. Yes, do. It's fun.
He gave me a book called Future Noir about the making of Blade Runner.
Oh, nice.
And so I've actually been thinking, because of course I pretty much relate almost everything in my life back to thoughts about Star Wars.
Mm. There's it's a dangerous pastime.
I know. And there's always a thread where people say, what are you going to do with Star Wars that's new? How are you going to break new ground?
Right.
And so I want to pose to you, as we've gone into this period 30 years later and those sorts of things, and we have the context of the Clone Wars, we have the context of what happened in the prequels with droids and those sorts of things. My question is, can you imagine anybody breaking the new ground of something like Replicants in the Star Wars galaxy? I have a follow-up question to that as well, but that's my first one, is can you picture a Star Wars galaxy with Replicants in it? There's one item we've gotten in the past where there was a human-looking android, but that's no longer canon, maybe. But can you picture a Star Wars galaxy with Replicants?
You asked that question. I think it's really interesting because I immediately thought of, well, what the heck is Lobot then? Is he some kind of like maybe the Star Wars version of a replicant in the sense that, he seems to have cybernetic enhancement in him? Was he really human to begin with? We don't know. Kind of just even seeing that, I think, it doesn't seem all that far off. So something like a human-like, robot-y, data-like thing could be something you would see in Star Wars. Like, that could be the next... I mean, gosh, if you really wanted to go all out and crazy, you know, instead of like a clone war, you know, the next, it could be, a totally different type of droid war. Like, these are the latest droids, you know, they look human. They sound human, they feel human, but they're not. I don't think it's really all that far off to think about that this could be a thing that they could possibly do.
And the thing is, with replicants, they're actually genetically engineered. Like, they're real eyes.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
real yep. everything, and they look and they function and they, you know, like yeah. They're basically genetically engineered humans that live for a very short time that have fake memories implanted in them.
Yes.
And so there's my mind goes. So I'm glad you mentioned the clones, because you know I'll come back to that in a second. But I'm wondering, is there an incredible possibility of there was an idea taken away from the Star Wars galaxy when they decanonized, you know, certain
right.
Works and those sorts of things, where if you recall, Luke had trouble sensing clones because they were outside of the natural order.
Right.
Would this be sort of an answer to the idea of the Yuuzhan Vong? Instead of having an extragalactic threat come in that they couldn't be sensed in the Force, you have something that exists outside the natural order, and therefore Jedi couldn't sense them.
You know, that's really interesting because, you know, something is created, and that thing is, I think you're really onto something. Like, I'm struggling because I'm like, all these things keep popping into my head too quickly.
Give me a couple of them.
So
throw a couple of them out there.
The idea of, okay, where does this skin come from? Like, is it organic at all, or is it meant, is it like grown? I mean, so does that mean, and if there aren't organic parts inside, like if you get down far enough and it's not organic being, would it have any Force sensitivity? Like, would it be connected with the Force? Would it have, you know, I mean, oh gosh, I'm going to use it, John, midichlorians. Would it have any midichlorians?
Well, right. But that's a question in and of itself, is if midichlorians are a part of all living things, and
right.
the replicant is alive. I mean, the replicant's alive.
Right.
I mean, you know, so far as we understand replicants in Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049, they're artificially created, but they're created in almost a similar process as clones. There's a little bit more of a micromanagement,
yes,
I guess you could say, about it. But you, like, would it be the imperative of the midichlorians to then sense out the non-living thing that's part of this natural order? And, I mean, would the midichlorians therefore invade the living material and convert them into something that's tied to the Force? Would that be an evolutionary step that the midichlorians, who can tell you the will of the Force, who connect you physically with the ethereal, would the midichlorians consider it their mission to come in and make them a part of the natural order?
See, the thing that I'm thinking is, oh, so we know that all living things are connected to the Force, and I'm thinking of, you know, Star Wars Episode 5, Yoda talking to Luke and saying the rock, the tree, you know, the ship, like all of these things, like, are all made of things that are organic. And so I guess in the end, my answer would have to be, I feel as though it doesn't matter if you're a created being like a replicant, a Jedi would be able to feel you in the Force because that you're still made of material that comes from this galaxy, where everything is bound by the Force, and therefore you would still be felt in the Force, because even though you might not, you know, the replicant itself would not be Force sensitive, most likely, you as a Jedi can still feel Force things. Like, I mean, a Jedi can sense like things around them, you know, and I never got the feeling like they couldn't sense in the Clone Wars, you know, droids around them during the war. So I don't know why you wouldn't be able to have a replicant be something that was also a part of the natural. I mean, it's not natural in the sense that it was born, but it's created in a universe that involves the Force. So therefore, I don't see why they wouldn't be, you know, detectable through the Force.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Jedi can't, like, mind read a droid.
Right. That, yes. Now, there would be limitations. Right.
Right. They can sense the disturbance around the droid.
Right.
And what, so in a sense, they can, he can see things before they happen. It's a Jedi trait. That is.
Right.
So there's something beyond just sensing the other being there. So would it, so to go back to the clones idea, are clones essentially replicants already as we understand them? Have we already seen replicants, but we called them something different, basically? Because replicants are simply genetically engineered beings with a programmed lifespan, and that's what the clones are from Jango Fett. They got an accelerated lifespan, so they're going to die earlier.
Mm.
And you have, you know, they're genetically modified, but it's all from one person. Mm. So it seems to me that in order for it to qualify as a replicant, and check my thinking on this, in order for it to qualify as a replicant, it seems that replicants are more from, you know, created from nothing sort of thing. Whereas they take Jango Fett's DNA every so often and they screw around with it and they make the clones.
Right.
Whereas replicants are simply put together from nothing, you know, not from nothing, but from nothingness.
Like, and I think that's one of the things, like, maybe in I don't know enough about that universe to know how the replicants are made. It's not as though they're cloning material and then growing it in a petri dish, you know, and that kind of stuff. I don't know. That's a good question. It makes me wonder now, like, with 2049 and Blade Runner, like, how are these things created? You know, how do you create the body of a replicant that has, I don't know, without basically almost it being like a clone?
Yeah. And, well, I mean, the thing is, Sebastian even says to Roy and Pris, there's a little bit of me in you, which, you know, I mean, the thing is, I don't want to go too far down the Blade Runner route, just number one, in case anybody hasn't seen it, which, of course, I highly encourage you to see it.
Oh, absolutely.
Watch the final cut, because always go with the director's preferred edition is my take on things. Thanks a lot for influencing me, Mike Schindler. But the with replicants, I think there's, if they really want to push a boundary, how interesting would it be to have somebody who is a Force user, who is, you know, like, oh, wow, we thought this Jedi Master was dead, and you find out that they don't know it necessarily, but they're a replicant. They've been created. I mean, because we've never definitively had answered on screen why Jedi are never cloned.
Right.
There's plenty of speculation about why not. I mean, you know, first and foremost is how terrifying is it that you could, like, is there a sense, though? Let me throw this at you. Is there a sense, though, from the clones that something that is created outside the natural order is going to have a natural tendency toward, if not outright turning bad or evil, a tendency toward amorality? Because it doesn't exist within the order that the Force and the midichlorians have created. You've created something that doesn't play by those rules. So, like, it gets back. It's, I guess, the Juruus Sabath principle.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking about.
They're naturally going to tend toward the evil.
Right. No, I was. It was interesting because I was thinking about him. You know, obviously the EU and Timothy Zahn kind of went down this road and about the idea of cloning a Jedi and what would happen and would it be a good thing. And, you know, of course, he went crazy and it was not a good thing for anyone. So I think that's fascinating. And it makes me wonder, like, because I like the idea that the clones in a lot of ways answer this question, like that they are really the part of this that we kind of have seen this before. I really like that idea. It's just the Star Wars version of it in a lot of ways. And it, I think, you know, I think it makes it really cool because everybody wanted, or at least Palpatine, I think, he wanted the Jedi to treat clones basically the way that Krell ended up treating the clones, which is you are a piece of material meant for me to use as if you were a droid. You have no, you know, you have no soul basically because you've been created in a lab and therefore I can do whatever I want with you. And I think that's fascinating because there was the wonderful first episode of the series when it hit television, which was with Yoda and him talking to the clones and being and having them take their helmets off and then specifically talk to them about the way in which they were unique. What were the things that he had seen in them that made them different from one another? And so I think it's so interesting because we've gotten to kind of see that attitude, the way replicants were treated in the Blade Runner universe is the way that some people, and I think Palpatine wanted a lot of the Jedi to treat, you know, the clones. And for the most part, we didn't see that. You know, most of the Jedi began to treat the clones in a way where they saw themselves as human, and maybe, they mattered. Ooh. I mean, we even saw the clone that deserted because he decided he wanted to be something more. So I just think this is a fascinating idea to me. Like this, like
what you're saying puts me down this road of maybe that's where, because Palpatine is the master of making the best of a bad situation,
right?
Or from his perspective, a bad situation, something that goes wrong for him. Maybe Order 66 is his failsafe simply against the idea that he was counting on the Jedi to turn the clones against them to begin with.
Mm.
But then he says, well, it might not happen, so I'm going to have these chips in Order 66 put in there so that if the Jedi don't behave the way I think they're going, like that would be a Palpatine sort of thing. To game against loss, to say, I'm going to cover my bases. And so Order 66, you can almost recontextualize it as he thought everybody was going to go the way of Krell, safe, of course, for a handful.
Yes.
I don't think he thinks Yoda is going to go that way, but he's like, you know, the Anakin. I think that probably Anakin's the big surprise for him, that Anakin doesn't treat the clones that way. That Anakin winds up becoming this terrific hero who respects his commander's advice and his men will follow him into the fires of hell. And I think that probably baffles Palpatine. And I think that shows that sort of thing where like Palpatine is actively trying to look for a way as Anakin turns, so the galaxy turns.
Mm. So and the so galaxy Anakin turns. Not be,
right. But Anakin doesn't go that way. So he's like, well, okay, well, I guess it's going to be Order 66 then. Okay. I'll get Anakin to turn on a more personal level then. You know, that's fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I think you do kind of have something there that I think Palpatine was the kind of character that had more than one plan in motion, and he always kind of had a backup plan, and what we know from the ancillary materials these days, that he had a failsafe so that if he died, then an empire that could not protect his emperor was not worth saving. So he was going to burn it all. And he did. So I think that's something that's really interesting, and it makes sense that he would, you know, with the clones, that he might have thought, hey, if I can, because I think that's part of it, you know, because that comes down to kind of like a Jedi question too, of if you can get the Jedi to do this thing where they're treating something in a way that makes it less than human, you know, like you're getting them to kind of fully destroy who they are, you know, like you're just twisting the knife a little bit more and who and destroying the foundation of what they should be. I think that could be a big part of it, you know, like that's part of the plan. Let me get these Jedi to turn against everything they say they supposedly are supposed to believe in.
And instead he only gets them to turn halfway.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, fine. Yes, great. Okay. Well, I mean, gosh, I mean, you could then even add a layer, like they all turn evil. Okay, maybe this is a whole other show, but like if the Jedi all behave that way, I got to write this down too, because if the Jedi all turn that way, then he basically turns the Jedi into the Sith that wiped themselves out, but he knows it's coming.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so he becomes sort of like the new Darth Bane, where he's like, I'm not going to get in the fight. I'll let them all kill each other, and then I will pluck somebody out. And he's betting heavily on Anakin, but he's willing to go with somebody else. I think this is a very interesting alternate history type of topic we could go down.
Yeah. Someday. No, I think that there's a lot of things that you could think of there, and the ways that Palpatine might think. You know, the idea of you know, replicants, though, I think it is interesting the way in which the two are very similar, the clones, as we've talked about, and replicants, because replicants are used as slave labor. That's what they are. They're the slaves,
right,
that the human race is using in the outer colonies to do the work that they don't want to do or can't do. The work that's too dangerous. And I think that what makes it fascinating is that that's exactly what the clones are. You know, that's what they are. They're the army. Because that's been made for them, that's going to fight the battle. They're the disposable army. They're just more highly priced droids. At least that's the way that I think a lot of people thought of them. And, you know, Palpatine, I think, wanted people to think of them that way. And yet, again, as we talked about, you know, the Jedi come in and they give them identity in the same way that Decker gives Rachel a whole new way of looking at things, like a new way of looking at herself, gives her respect beyond, oh, you're just a skin job, you know? And that's, I think that's something that is really interesting and really fascinating. And I think it's unexpected. Palpatine doesn't necessarily expect people to respond to the clones in the way that they do. And I don't think he definitely doesn't expect the clones to respond the way they do to the way that the Jedi treat them. Because,
right,
you know, we've watched
exactly
the whole arc where some of the clones find out what happened. And we also know, you know, hey, Rex beat it and everything. So I think, you know, again, it's just this fascinating thing of kind of like thinking about. I just never thought about this idea of them as like, basically, the Star Wars replicants. That's awesome.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, maybe this is something that others have thought about. It just came to me. While I was reading Future Noir, which is I can't fully recommend the book yet because I'm not done. But so far, it's fantastic. So basically, if you've thought of this and you want to reach out to us, of course, you know, we welcome your feedback and anything like that. But Matt, if anybody wants to talk to you about clones and replicants and their similarities or dissimilarities, where can they reach you?
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter, MattRushing02. I am also on Instagram under the same name. I'm here in the network with Drea Kaufman, and I do Owlpost. We talk about Harry Potter, and make sure you check that out. We're going through each and every chapter of the series. It's been a lot of fun. We are almost done with the third book, The Prisoner of Azkaban. We actually only have one more chapter in that, and then we're headed off to the Goblet of Fire. So make sure that you're listening to that. You can also find me on the Trek FM network, where I am talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine with Chris Jones over on The Orb. And then I'm doing our general geek show, The 602 Club, talking about all the fandoms we love. In fact, John just came on over, had a drink, and we talked about Daredevil from Netflix, which was a blast, so make sure you're checking that out.
Yes, it was.
And then, last but not least, doing a show with my friend Courtney called Cinema Stories, and we talk about film through the lens of faith, kind of digging into the morals, meanings, and messages, so I hope you'll check all of those out. But John, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you where people could find you when you're not here on Aggressive Negotiations.
Well, my heart is always here on Aggressive Negotiations, but
his heart
if you want to find
always
my...
here.
I left my heart in Aggressive Negotiations. but if you want to find the heartless version of me, you can just look for Kessel Junkie out there online. You can also find me right here on the network co-hosting Great Shot Kid with Mike Schindler, where you know we take some pretty deep dives on film and filmmaking, and it's a lot of fun. You can find me actually over on the Trek FM network on Stage 9, also with Mike Schindler, where we do deep dive, but it's focused on Star Trek creators. And you can find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig out there in the ether, where it's just a weekly show of zaniness. But with all of that said, Matt, I think there's only one thing left to say. I think it's time to close negotiations.
John, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.